In this episode, Mike Riley and Mike Ferrante start off with the December real estate market in Cleveland. White hot, red hot, or just warm? Then we discuss the pros and cons of the realtors in the Northeast Ohio area. All this on the Cleveland Real Estate Investor Podcast. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Riley, and we've just entered in December. The countdown begins to the Christmas holiday, and yours truly will, of course, be doing his Christmas shopping on the 24th of December. And with me is one of my elves, my Christmas elves, Mike Ferrante. Mike, how are you doing on Monday?
Fantastic. Having a great day so far. Start to a good week.
Okay. Knock on wood when you say that. So anyways, before we get into it, I have to tell you a funny story. So everybody indulge me. This is just a like 30-second story. You know, I'm working up until the last couple of days for Christmas, you know, end of year stuff and bonuses for people. And then I get around to doing the shopping, and I'm a very, very effective shopper. I mean, I get my list going like Santa. I hit these stores, boom, 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 and inevitably, just walking around the stores, I'll find something I didn't even anticipate. But be that as it may, I will never forget 10 years ago being at Saks Fifth Avenue on December 24th at around 11 a.m. And the makeup cosmetic department, it was all guys with their credit cards like dangling from their mouths. And watching the women who are on commission work these guys over was like watching the bears at the salmon run. I mean, it was breathtaking. These guys, all they had to do was say the magic word. Oh, she will like this. Boom. Credit card out. Not even blinking what the cost is. And 6 months later, I was buying a present at the same makeup counter, although this time it was all women. And I was talking to this one sales lady, you know, one salesman to another. And I said, man, I just watching you guys work on Christmas time. And her eyes lit up. He goes, yeah, we make half our money in that one day. So wow. It's unbelievable. Anyway, so that's my little Christmas story, Mike. Go ahead.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
I know. Okay. So from that, we segue into what do we have under the tree with December heat check here for properties?
Yeah, so things are cooling off a little bit. You know, we were talking for so many months about, you know, what color hot the market was, red hot, white hot. You know, we started running out of colors, I think. And, you know, things are finally starting to cool off a bit. One of the things that I noticed, Mike, is that the number of sales dropped pretty dramatically. So I think that's not a surprise. You know, we had about a 16% drop year over year in the number of sales. Now, what everyone's waiting for, of course, is prices to drop, you know, wondering, is that going to happen? You know, and I try to read as much as I can, and most people are saying no. They're saying that there still is enough demand and not enough inventory. And so far, that is holding true. We have a little seasonal drop in prices that we experience just because, you know, things slow down in the winter. So our median sale price last month was $180,000, which is down from the $185,000, $195,000 that it was the past couple months. But compared year over year, it's $5,000 higher than it was November of last year. So number of transactions is down, but prices are staying pretty steady. In fact, the median price is still rising slightly.
So would you account that for the fact that Cleveland is not a boom and bust area where, you know, I mean, yeah, we're going to have price increases, but like we were saying in earlier heat check podcast, that those prices were actually getting back to normal pricing, right?
Yeah. And I think as we talk about a lot, because we have a lot of investors that listen to us, this is a very slow and steady market. You know, we're the tortoise and the hare. So our usual appreciation is 1 to 5%. That's probably what we're going back to. Now, during those boom years when we were experiencing the crazy appreciation, 7-10% per year, that was an anomaly. And that was all driven by the bizarre market we had with extremely low interest rates and, of course, not enough houses on the market. And I've got those numbers too, so we can get to the whole number of listings and days to sell. But those days are gone. And yeah, the we're not a boom or bust market for sure. We're the, like I said, the tortoise. But that said, you know, I think that you're, I would be surprised if other markets aren't experiencing the same kind of thing. I would be surprised if their prices are dropping dramatically, although I'm sure the number of transactions is dropping.
So, okay, let's summarize this. Is this a seller's market or a buyer's market, or are we getting somewhere in between?
Well, we're not to a balanced market yet, in my opinion. You know, as you look at the history of our market, very, very consistent. It's a boring up and down roller, you know, very a roller coaster with very small hills. That's how I'll put it. It's up and down, trending upward. The issue that we still have is that we don't have enough inventory. And I know people are probably sick of hearing me say that, but do you know that we actually had another drop in inventory last month? So again, in winter, there's fewer homes on the market, so not shocking, but we need about 5,000 or 6,000 homes on the market in our area for there to be enough inventory to meet the demand. And we're still well under 3,000 listings. So by comparison, at the very lowest, we got down to about 1,700 listings. That was like a crazy shortage. Now we're up to almost 2,700, but we're not even close to where we need to be a balanced market. So you couple that with a very short market time, you know, we would normally this time of year, past years, we're seeing 55, 49 days on the market. So around that 50, we're still 23 days to sell a house, which is half the market time that we're used to. So for us, that's like, wow, homes are selling so fast.
Yeah, but that's nothing compared to, say, the LA market, where they're literally camping on the doorstep for the house to open.
Yeah. Yeah. Apples and oranges. But for us, wow, what a great seller's market right now.
For investors looking to buy, would they, we talked about this in earlier podcasts, that would they look for days on market where maybe these people are ready to just take a cash offer?
Well, and this time of year is a good time to buy because yes, we're starting to see some homes lingering on the market. Now, absolutely, days on market is a good indicator that maybe there's an agent who's not doing a great job guiding that seller. Maybe there's a seller who started off with a crazy price and now is suffering for it because of their lengthy time on market. But certainly those are some things to target when you're looking to find deals, because even though it's a seller's market, it's not insane like it was. So there are still some deals to be had.
Right. Right. Exactly. Let's talk digress a little about incompetent realtors. And we had an earlier podcast, maybe probably a year or so ago, we were talking about how some of these realtors, they don't even do a minimal amount of dressing up the house, you know, window washing, landscaping, stuff like that. Taking away the seller who puts a crazy price out there, which causes the house to sit and sit and sit with no offers. What are the other factors where a house just sits there other than just crazy, crazy price?
I got to tell you, Mike, we often talk about the two reasons why a house sits, and it's price or condition. And the bottom line is that condition is also price, because if you've got a house that isn't in good enough condition, you need to lower the price or add something, add some value, fix something, update, improve. So you're either waiting, I always tell sellers this, you're either waiting for that perfect buyer, you know, the buyer who has to have your house, or we always talk about the cash buyer from California who can't believe how cheap the houses are here, right?
I know, you know, we
have so many, oh, I can't believe it. How could I go wrong? This house is so cheap compared to what I'm used to. So as a seller, you're either waiting for that perfect buyer or you've got to do something. We also talk about marketing, and I know that most sellers say, yeah, but my last agent didn't market the house right. And certainly there's something to be said for that. You know, like we talked, you started talking about, Mike, you got agents who will stick a sign in the yard and wait for the phone to ring. You know, that's not a plan. And certainly marketing can expose the house to more buyers, but the power of the internet, the multiple listing service, Zillow, Realtor.com, you're hitting a huge segment of the market just with those couple tools. Now, the marketing that we do, for example, yeah, I'm getting you 10, 20, 30% more hits online, and that's significant, but the difference between the house selling or not selling typically is not the poor marketing.
Right, right. Well, you know what? There's got to be a minor checklist that you can go through that I've noticed to get the house ready to sell, and that is washing the windows, cleaning up the kitchen. Doesn't have to be a brand new kitchen. Certainly taking care of any just bad paint problems in the front of the house from the curb, you know, the front entryway, the landscaping, cleaning up the weeds, edging the beds. Even this time of year, like last week, we cleaned up a bunch of leaves at one of our properties. And I said, hey, it's in the 40s. Let's just give it a quick cut. Lawn cut before the end of the year, just to get, you know, make it look presentable. So, I mean, at the minimum, you know, the sellers need to be doing some form of cleanup. Doesn't have to be a total renovation. On the other hand, I would think if you're a buyer and you put two and two together, you look at a house that's been sitting on the market over 60 days and the condition of that house, that's going to tell you a lot. That this person may be open to a seriously low cash bid, because isn't it true that there isn't a lot of buyers out there who are going to want to put quote sweat equity unquote into the house? Hey, let's stop here. We got to pay some bills. 30 seconds. And we'll be back. If you've been listening to this podcast, then you understand or should understand the pitfalls of investing in Cleveland real estate. Say you're looking for an investment property to rent, and these are the things that could happen and often do. You overpay for a house. And it's in the ghetto. Then you find that it's a money pit with endless surprise repairs. Your hapless property manager, who may be the brother-in-law of the realtor, gets a tenant who after 3 months stops paying the rent. Then the toilet explodes, and you have nobody to repair it because, guess what? The property manager is not answering the phone. Yep, that's the ugly side of the Cleveland real estate market. But we have a solution. Buy one of our properties. It's been inspected. It's been vetted. It's in a rock solid part of town. It comes with a Gold Star tenant paying top dollar rent. And we manage it. Call us at 216-371-8160 if you're interested.
Yeah, that the sweat equity need in a house. So the house that's a little rough around the edges is not for every buyer in the market. For example, we were just talking to someone yesterday relocating here from Missouri, and the last thing they want is to move their kid, their dogs, and all their stuff from Missouri and have to come and clean and paint and fix up the yard. So you're eliminating a segment of the market when you don't have your house spruced up. Mike, I want to share an analogy, a little story that I make this point really sink home. So your house is Cinderella, and you got Cinderella ready to go to the ball. She's got her dress, she's got the carriage, but you send her in bare feet. You know, just that one thing that's missing, you know, cleaning the windows, cleaning up the yard, whatever it is, changes the whole picture, right?
Yeah, I call it the Disney effect. I tell telling people all the time, you know, all you got to do is go down to Disney World. First, go to some half-assed park like a Cedar Point. Oh, that's a nice park, but it's not Disney. Just go to your average, you know, amusement park, Canada Wonderland or, you know, Knott's Berry Farm or whatever, and then go to Disney World. It's night and day. You do not even see a open garbage can. Everything's done underground. So you walk around and it truly is the Magic Kingdom. And that's by effect. I mean, there isn't a blade of grass that's out of place. And that's, you know, the irony of it is if you're selling your house, putting $5,000 in on just wash windows, landscaping, cleanup, and maybe some touch-up painting here and there, or maybe at the most $10,000, maybe put a new floor in the bathroom and in the kitchen, is going to, I mean, you're going to get it all back. Plus, not to mention the house is going to sell quicker. So you're not going to have these carrying costs, which is almost like a hidden cost unto itself. Your thoughts?
That's right. And there's a story, a house that we sold together. It was your client and they came to you and said, "Hey, I'm getting ready to sell my house. What should I do?" And I remember the kitchen was kind of dated and, you know, certainly a candidate for replacement. But I remember you went in there and said, "Hey, look, let's just do a new floor." And you guys actually painted the counters. This was a few years ago. You probably won't remember what the address was, but it looked like a brand new kitchen. You know, it made all the difference in the world. Now, it wasn't a brand new kitchen, but that was the difference between, it looks okay, to you walk in and go, "Wow, this is really nice."
Yeah. And, you know, obviously people are going to do down the road improvements themselves. So as long as it's not slapping them in the face, you know, some garish orange color in one of the bedrooms or some awful dated, cheap ass kitchen floor that's peeling or a bathroom that's peeling or a, you know, 70s type medicine cabinet with those big light bulbs over the mirror. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, granite counters. We're talking about just basic cleanup. So at least they can move in and, you know, feel somewhat comfortable.
Right.
I mean, that's the key. And that's where I always found that when we were out talking to our customers, I didn't want to have to get into a pissing war with the realtor as the contractor. But, you know, sometimes they would, I don't know where they were coming, they would say, "Oh, we need to paint everything beige." You know, in the house, condo beige. "Oh, and this needs to replace, and this needs to replace." I'm thinking to myself, that doesn't need to be replaced. So when you have all these different realtors out there, hundreds of realtors, some of them are just doing them part-time, you know, how many really know what they're talking about? How many are really based on some kind of analytic stats that at the minimum, this is what you need to do? What's your thoughts? I'm kind of slamming the realtor. Yeah, come on, Mike. Pick up the sword and defend them.
Well, I thought you were going to say pick up the sword and stab them. But yeah, so there's just in Northeast Ohio, there's about between 5,500 and 6,500 active real estate agents. Wow. That's just in Northeast Ohio. So as you can imagine, a lot of them are part-time. A lot of them have zero sales. There's probably about a third of them that have 0 to 2 sales. And Mike, the average number of sales that realtors across the country do is somewhere around 4 or 5. That's it. That's it. So when you talk about your 80-20 rule, your Pareto's law in real estate agents, you know, 80% of the business is done by 20% of the agents. It's more like 95% of the business is done by 5% of the agents. So, you know, when you really talk about who's full-time, expert, productive agents, it's literally about 5% of the agents. Now, I'm not here to tell you that every agent who sells 10 or fewer houses is bad at it. That's not necessarily true. But of course, with more repetition and so forth comes more knowledge, more experience. And I think what you said earlier about knowing the stats, knowing data, knowing today's methods and procedures, knowing about digital marketing, for example, I think there's a lot of agents who've been left in the dust because of how quickly things change in our industry.
Right. And, you know, they're not evolving. So listeners out there, especially you investors who engage into a realtor, first of all, a lot of the realtors are there to sell a house, and a lot of them don't even know how to sell a house, okay? And yet, what are you asking them to do? You're asking them to find you an investment property, and they have no experience at that. They don't own any investment property. They may not even, you may be the first investor they're actually looking for. Now, maybe they are working for some big, you know, real estate company, but that doesn't necessarily mean they know what they're doing. So I would think if you're an investor out there, okay, let's just toot Mike Ferrante's horn. I mean, you've been around, you know, here for, you know, 10, 15 years, and you work with investors all around the country. At the end of the day, okay, think about Mike Ferrante and Century 21, which has a national reputation that works with a lot of relocation companies. But at the end of the day, you've got to find somebody who has sold more than 10 houses. Shouldn't that be the bottom line, Mike?
You know, I think that is a good indicator of who's out there doing the business. Again, I think the business is going in two directions. So I know we're going off on a little real estate agent tangent here, but the business is going in two directions. One is teams, you know, big teams dominating markets, dominating geographic areas. The other direction is the small boutique neighborhood specialist agent. Okay. And I'm not saying one is better than the other. All I'm saying is that if you are dealing with an agent who's not doing a lot of deals, they're probably in that niche. The area expert, hey, I sell 10 houses a year, but I know Chagrin Falls like the back of my hand.
Or Fernway and Shaker. They not only know Shaker, but they know the neighborhood in Shaker. Fernway.
That's right.
Okay, Lomont. Yeah. Or if it's in Cleveland Heights, it could be in the Royal Heights, or it could be in, you know, the Fairmont Historic District. So again, listen, everybody, if you're going to invest in Cleveland, first time investor, there is a lot you need to know, and finding that realtor who's got the credentials. If they're boutique, then maybe they specialize in investment duplexes, which I question, because I just think a lot of them are garbage. But on the other hand, they may specialize in a neighborhood. And if you're dealing with big team organization like Team Mike, I mean, how many people do you have assisting you on your team?
Yeah, 40 agents and an admin staff of 4. So, you know, we're like a company. It's like dealing with a company.
Wow. Okay. You are a team.
So Mike, you know, I wanted to throw something out there because I know, you know, we keep talking about, you know, it's still a seller's market, but there's deals to be had. I think the big takeaway from the conversation that we just had for buyers, for people who are looking to score a deal in this market, is that I think that there's an opportunity to be had when you find one of these properties where the agent or the seller has made a mistake. It's going to cost them. You may as well be the recipient of it. And the mistake is they've overpriced it, or they haven't prepared the property correctly. So I think if you're willing to be that buyer who will say, hey, I don't care that you have orange carpet and crazy wallpaper. Every other buyer that walks in there is going to say, oh, first thing we got to do is change this wallpaper or strip this wallpaper. But if you're a buyer, that screams opportunity.
Right.
So as you're shopping, you look for those properties where there's some, you know, borderline malpractice, as we like to put it sometimes. And there's your opportunity. Make your offer on that property.
Right.
Take the discount, do the work yourself, hire a reputable contractor like Riley Painting and Contracting, get the house ready, and bam, you just got yourself some instant equity.
Exactly. And I think one of the things that's a curveball in all this is, you not only have to find the right realtor who's going to find the right deal, that's 60 day and over, but you also have to find the crew that's going to do the work. And that's what probably makes it even more difficult. I mean, we've scored some good buys this year. I thought the Fairmont deal was a good deal. And then we bought a couple others in the last year or two, the South Woodland property for one, but they were all based on mistakes. And the house was just sitting there. It was truly low fruit. But we had the organization that could come in then you know, and turn it around. So I think for investors out there who truly want to invest in Cleveland, really gets, I mean, okay, infomercial time. If you don't want to hear it, put your earmuffs on. But really, Mike, your team can find the deals and our team can turn the house around, right? That's what the infomercial is.
That's the idea, you know, and it's, I think that it's important that you have your teammates, in this case, who specialize in something. I would be wary of the company or individual says, oh, we do it all. We'll find the properties, we'll renovate them, we'll manage them. Then you got the fox watching the hen house, I think. You got to have a series of checks and balances. You know, I mean, one or two lanes you have to be in. You can't do everything, in my opinion. I think it's hard to do everything.
Right.
We specialize in buying and selling. You guys do work, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but you will do management for your clients, right? You're not out right there saying, hey, we manage everything.
No, we don't manage everything. I don't want to manage everything. You know, I got a life here, so, you know. It's enough managing what, you know, what we have, but again, look at everybody. You got to get a track record. How many houses did this realtor sell? Okay. How about getting some references on that? And then of course, with the contracting side is, are they listed with the city? The cities are like Cleveland Heights or Shaker. Are they a list of preferred contractors? How long they've been in business? Do they have a website? I mean, are they a legitimate company as opposed to just a fly by night? They'll take your deposit and 6 months later, maybe they'll be halfway through, you know, the project. And we see that all the time.
Right. So, or they disappear.
Right. Exactly. They disappear. So to wrap this all up, Mike, what we're talking about is that you say that it is still a seller's market, correct?
100% seller's market, inventory still down, only 23 days to sell a house at a time of year where we're used to seeing closer to 50. I mean, that tells the story.
Right. So still a seller's market, but there are still deals to be had if you know where to look, correct?
Got to know which rocks to flip over.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to end on that note, and we'll have a special Christmas special coming up in about 10 days, Mike. We'll wrap up the year, the highs and the lows, the best and the worst. So that should be start putting your checklist together of things to add. And everybody, listen, if you want to talk with us, 216-371-8160 is the number, or go to RileyPainting.com or Riley-Properties.com and send us your questions. If you're interested in buying a property or whatever, we can help. So there's your infomercial for Monday. All right, Mike, thanks for your time. Go out and sell some more houses.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, bye.
Thank you for listening to the Cleveland Real Estate Investor Podcast with Mike Riley. Please add our show or follow us on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcast, or Spotify. Leave a like or comment on the video. All engagement is appreciated. Subscribe to us on YouTube as well for video content coming soon. For any Cleveland listeners or Cleveland Browns fans, you can check out our other podcast, Cleveland Browns Anonymous, for our weekly group therapy session. This is also on all the same platforms as the Cleveland Real Estate Investor.